Our scripture for today is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 through 31. Hear the word of the Lord. For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. But where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world did not know God through wisdom, God decided through the foolishness of our proclamation to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks desire wisdom. But we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. But to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's foolishness is stronger than human strength. Consider your call, brothers and sisters. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, things that are not, to reduce to nothing things that are. So that no one might boast in the presence of God. He is the source of your life in Jesus Christ, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. In order that, as it is written, let no one boast. Let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. May God bless this reading and hearing of this, his holy word. Let us pray. Father God, make our hearts fertile soil. Make our ears open and let our minds contemplate that which you would have us to contemplate this day. In Christ's name, amen. I think it's a pretty fair statement to say that there is a lot of foolishness in the world today. Yes? No? Maybe so? There are many, many people and groups that are running around shouting at the top of their lungs how we have the answer to all of life's problems. Just listen to what we are saying. All we need to do is implement this program in order to combat this major problem of the age, and everything will be fine. We need to create this agency to coordinate our efforts to lessen the effects that come from this particular issue. There are a lot of crazy ideas being tossed around on a daily basis, and there just seems to be more and more that are being said every single day. More and more, we as a society are looking for the fastest, the easiest way to fix something. Take a shot, a pill, do this particular therapy, go to this particular group meeting, go to this particular 12-step program. People get sucked in by terrible ideas. Something is said or proposed. Hey, that sounds good to me. Let's do it. And they get sucked in because they want it They want this fixed and they want it done now and will go after the thing that just seems to be the wisest. Now the problem is that a lot of what is getting peddled around today is garbage. It is absolute foolishness. We've got scientists that think if we just figure out the correct formula, that things are going to be wonderful. We have the philosophers that think that we need to have the correct understanding of the truth, and therefore everything will just be peachy, keen, and dandy. We have social scientists that use scientific principles to analyze social systems, draw conclusions, and implement strategies to affect change or to sway opinion in a given population to make everything better. And we even have individuals that think if things are just ordered the way that they think that they should be, that life will be blissful and life would be easy. I don't care what anybody else says. I don't care what the Bible has to say. This is the way that I feel, and this is the way that it needs to be. All of these people, and all of us to a certain extent, are trusting in our own flawed minds and our own flawed hearts to take and guide us through our lives. In the midst of all of this chaos, there stands a humble man, dark skin, long hair, wearing a linen robe and a pair of sandals. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, come to earth to save us from our sin and to a certain extent save us from ourselves. So, what kind of formula does Jesus come up with? What is the state of mind that we all need to be in? Well, what does Jesus teach us? Love one another. Help one another. Care for one another. Feed one another. Comfort one another. Turn the other cheek. Can you believe that? Somebody hits me, I'm going to hit them back. But Jesus says, turn the other cheek. Give your cloak to someone that needs it. It can't be that simple. It can't be that simple to live a life that brings us peace, that brings us joy, that brings us contentment. It can't be that simple. There has to be a formula. There has to be some other kind of complicated strategy that surely works better than the foolishness that this man is speaking. I mean, come on. What does Jesus really do? He walks around. He talks to people. He gives sermons on things. He tells parables. He doesn't just come out and say what he wants to say. He uses parables. What kind of foolishness is that? He calls out the religious authorities. These are the people that know what they're talking about. They know what God wants. And yet here he is. He's talking back to them. And you know what? How the heck does he perform all of these, you know, so-called miracles? There's got to be a trick to it. There's got to be an explanation for it. Certainly, he is not just curing people. There's got to be a trick to it. And even his family, if you read scripture, his family thinks he's out of his mind. They think that he's insane, that he is crazy, and they are afraid that he is going to embarrass himself, and more importantly, he's going to embarrass them by the things that he is saying. And a number of times in the Bible, his family actually goes to get him and to bring him home because surely he is not thinking right. The religious authorities thought that his behavior was so weird and it so contradicted the way that things were at that time. And especially because he was performing miracles. Surely this guy's got to be possessed by a demon. That's the only way. That's the only explanation that can possibly explain why he's able to do all of these things. And a lot of times, if you read your Bible, people are always considering, is this guy a lunatic? Is he a liar? Is he just lying about all of this stuff, just kind of making it up as he goes? Or could he actually be what he says that he is, that he is the Son of God? Paul starts out our scripture today stating that the message of the cross is foolishness, and that to accept it is foolishness. It goes against the ways of the world. But to all that do accept this message of the cross, the message of Jesus Christ, it represents the very essence of who God is and what he does, what he stands for. And the recognition of his influence upon all of our lives. I heard an example once of God's wisdom versus our wisdom. And the question was asked, have you ever noticed in Scripture how the church is compared to a flock of sheep? Well, what do we know about sheep? Are sheep the smartest animals in God's kingdom? Nah. Sheep are stupid. Sheep wouldn't know where to go if they weren't led by a shepherd. Sheep wouldn't know that it was time to come in unless the shepherd, or a lot of times nowadays, the sheepdogs bring the herd back in to safety at night. And on a side point, there are videos out on YouTube of sheepdogs working that are just absolutely amazing. So anyhow, why is the church compared to sheep? Well, if you take all of the combined knowledge and wisdom of mankind, everything that has been said by the Greek philosophers, the religious theologians, if you take and all the scientists, and if you stack it up and you compare that to God's wisdom, all that wisdom of man just seems to say, bah! God's foolishness, the most foolish part of God's wisdom, is wiser than any human wisdom. And God, the weakest part of God's wisdom, is stronger than anything that humans can do. While we are indeed in the words of Psalm 139, verse 14, even though we are fearfully and wonderfully made, we are finite. We are finite in our thinking. We are finite in our perception of the things in the world. But God is infinite in his thinking. He knows what needs to happen for everyone in the world. He's got a will for them. And he has to make sure that the steps are taken to make sure that the events that need to happen to the right people at the right time are done so that his will can be done. As I said with the children, young disciples, I should say, as I told them, you know, a lot of things, if you really think about it, a lot of things that we are called as Christians to do just seem to be the most ridiculous, foolish things in the world. But then if you think a little bit more, you start to glimpse the wisdom of God. When I was in college from 1985 to 89, I was in a group there called Clowns for Christ. And we would dress up, we would have our clown faces on, and we would go out to churches and other events, and we'd do little skits to music, to songs, mostly contemporary Christian music. We would do that, and we'd always pray before the performance started, and we always ended. We always had hands in the middle. And one of us would always say, if you're being foolish, you're doing it right. And we kind of had an unofficial theme song, if you will. There is an artist by the name of Michael Card, and he did a wonderful 3-CD series on the life of Christ that I would definitely encourage you to check out. And one of those songs is called God's Own Fool. And the chorus goes, when we in our foolishness thought we were wise, he played the fool and he opened our eyes. When we in our weakness believed we were strong, he became helpless to show we were wrong. And so we follow God's own fool, for only the foolish can tell. Believe the unbelievable. Come, be a fool as well. Remember, as you go about your day, about your business, that if you are being foolish, you're doing it right. Amen.